This is the Outliers Edge podcast, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by taking them to the edge of their comfort zone so that they can lead us to the edge of what's next. I'm your host, Niyama Ashong. Let's do this.
Oh, hello. Hello. Hello there. My name is Niyama Ashong. I'm the founder of Outliers Edge, where we champion the leaders who are shaping the future of our world. Hello.
Hi, y'all. Niyama here. Oh, man, I have so much fun in what happens here. And yeah, I have to give you a heads up. I hit record, and I always want to see, like, how far can I, like, push myself in just this intro? Like, there's a new edge that comes on. What you may not have known is, A, I had no idea I was going to sing before I hit record. B, every single word that I said, I came to like a decision point. I'm like, this was too long, so I stopped singing. Why am I singing right now? Right. So like, while I feel that was great and maybe Grammy Award like nomination level, I don't know if it'll win, but I love to make sure that while we are talking about being outliers on our edge, we don't miss actually being on our edge. And so like, as we go on, you'll continue to see both the external things that get done, and I'll give you glimpses and insights into the internal things that happen. Some of the things that I do might seem really silly, but like the amount of space and transformation that comes on from a simple singing of song, there's someone out there that may have realized right now that they haven't brought music into what they've done, and that's what they were specialized in, and that now they can use that to go and create more transformative, more impactful experiences for their teams, for their families, for their clients. Everything is on the table. Every skill, every experience you have had is your edge, is your advantage as an outlier. Don't leave things hanging. You know, don't leave things off the table. I'm speaking to someone today, an outlier. Her name's Amanda Parker, and she gets this. She gets this so much. Like one of the things, Amanda, I'm going to look at you in just a bit here and just like share who you are to me. Like one of the things that I appreciate so much about Amanda, about you, Amanda, is like, I have felt that every time we have met and come in space, you have brought not a part of you, but a fullness of you. Like I feel like you are someone who has a very large container for life and chooses not to hold back or like leave spaces in there. And look, we're human, of course, like there's still more there, but my experience of you is one that's full of presence, one that's full of like of real deep connection and relationship. And you don't hide back. Like you lean into opportunities. You lean into, I'm going to call it crunchiness right now, you know? But you lean into things that create opportunities for real exploration and real discovery. And I really do see you as a peer. I'm glad that like we're having this conversation here. I'm super excited to introduce you to the rest of the outliers that I know and bring you into the Outliers Edge world. Amanda, it's an absolute pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. I'm blushing now. It's really amazing just to be here in your presence with all of your community as well, and just have the chance to have a deep conversation with someone who I also really admire and respect. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing you. I shared who you are to me in this moment. You might ask me another day and I'll say something completely different. But like, this is who you are to me in this moment here. I would love to give people a chance to get to know you both personally and professionally to whatever extent you feel like sharing with us. Like, so I'll just ask this, like, Amanda, who are you today?
Who am I today? That's a great question, because maybe a week ago it was different. Yeah. I'm playing with this new way of being and really leaning into the side of myself that is a catalyst for courage. So I really feel so deeply that what I am doing in the world is helping people access a deeper level of themselves, a deeper level of courage that they didn't even know was inside of them, and finding just creative ways to bring that to light. So I think this is actually what I've been doing my whole life, but until I became a coach, I wouldn't have been able to put any words to that. So really getting an understanding of what my own gifts are in helping people just connect to themselves really deeply and go for those things that they never even thought were possible. So that's a lot of what my mission is at the moment. I'm also a crazy cat fanatic. I love animals. I travel a lot. So I think there's something for me that's really powerful and strong just about exploration, communication, connecting, whether with humans or animals, and really stepping outside of my, I guess I'd say comfort zone, but that's expanding all the time. So it's like the minute I step outside of that comfort zone, there's another comfort zone to reach out into.
Well, I love this here because like we're here. It's an outlier's edge conversation. And I've recognized, I told you right before we hit record, I've been living in a world with outliers, but now it's time to live on the edge, right? And we look at that through the lens of like, what gives you an edge? What gives you a competitive or co-creative advantage, right? But also like, what is like the edge? What's the edge of your comfort? What's like the edge of like what feels good to you, right? The edge of that comfort zone and really going after these bigger goals. I've been really clear. I'm like, my people consistently defy the odds. They say it can't be mm-hmm. done. And yet they're like, but I'm here. You know, so I would love for us as we talk to just invite ourselves to find some way to incorporate that in real time here in this experience. I do have a question for you. You said you're an avid fan of cats, big cats or small cats?
All of the above. I love the tiny house tigers as much as I love the wild ones.
got you. Yeah, I've been like, I think we've been watching a lot of things. Zoos happen right now in our family because we have a little one at home. I'll be honest, I'm still like, I get uncomfortable in a zoo. I get uncomfortable there. But it's just like when I think about when I think about cats now, it's like my mind goes to the whole spectrum here, because every time we see one, my little one points one out. It's like, there's a cat, there's a meow, you know? So that lights my heart up here a bit. That's awesome. So I'm hearing different things here. You're a catalyst for courage, right? We just finished doing like scary September around the time that we were making this recording here. So like, so I look at this here, I'm like, okay, courage has been top of mind for a long, long time. You also mentioned that you find creative ways to help people bring what's in them to life, right? Mm-hmm. Can you share with me, like, what are some of like the most courageous and creative ways that you have, that either you or one of your clients have brought something to life recently? I'd be really curious, like, let's make that real.
I mean, I feel like courage, it's worth defining what courage means, because okay, that limit is really different for each of us. So something that might take tremendous courage for me might come really naturally to you, and vice versa. So in my own life and professional life, I've just so often taken steps that other people have told me, wow, that's so courageous, I can't believe you did that. But that actually wasn't where my edge was, you know? So, I lived in New York. That's where I grew up. I studied in New Orleans. So I went down to Louisiana. I went back to Manhattan after college and took a volunteer position a few years later. I wasn't that happy with the job I was in, and I moved to Paraguay. And in Paraguay, I was working in wildlife conservation. From there, I moved to Berlin to keep working in wildlife conservation. So there's an edge in all of this. But I think for some people, that path, that trajectory would be like impossible to even imagine. Whereas for me, it would be impossible to imagine not having made those moves. So I think, I just find it really fascinating to see where is that charge in courage? Like, what does that mean? Because, you know, for a client of mine, for example, who's this just amazing, amazing woman. She works in innovation. She works at a really big company, and realized after a few months of working there, that she couldn't really create the big things that she wanted to be creating. And she found a limit just in the corporate structure and the bureaucracy and whatever it was. And the step of courage for her was, first of all, recognizing that and like acknowledging it to herself, because it's very easy to just stay where we are, stay comfortable. Everything's easy here. I know this terrain. I don't have to upset the apple cart, you know? So I think that first step of really acknowledging I'm not that happy here, I want to change things, takes tremendous courage. And then the next steps of actually proposing, or in this case, really proposing a lab, like creating a new kind of lab to do different kinds of innovation, to help people grow in different ways at the risk of being rejected and being turned away. So I think something like that just shows just how much you can push yourself. And the next time you need to make that proposal, it's not so scary. Then there's another edge that you're actually reaching. So I think, for me, courage shows up every day. Yeah. It's really in so many different ways of the work that I'm doing, and just who I'm being on a day-to-day basis. I'm like continuously pushing the edge. Sometimes it's a bit too much. I'm like, can things just be stable?
Yeah, I get you on some of this here. Like, and I have to, like, before we leave, there's someone I need to connect you with just based on this part of the story that you shared here. And part of this here, part of the reason I need to connect you with this person is like, what I hear from you is like what other people might think is courageous is just life, right? What other people might think is courageous is like, is you being attuned to what it is that like Amanda needs or wants and actually just going for it. I love this thing. I was typing as you were talking, and then one thing that came up was apparently I hit the caps subconsciously. I knew that this was a big thing, right? But it's like for some people, for you, it would have been impossible not to have made those moves, you know? And I think that I love the everyday impossibilities, right? Because like those are the things that actually require the courage. Or those are the things that don't require courage. I'm so happy that we came into this and you're like, let's just get straight on like what courage is. For me, it may not be courageous, but it might be seen on the outside as someone else as being courageous in that regard. This is part of why I think our relationship has flourished so much, because it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I'm doing something. I don't know if it's big. I don't know if it's small. I don't care if it's medium, like, but there's another thing that I want to do. And like, here goes me in the creation of it. I think that there's something really nice about being in spaces or being with people who don't see, like, who acknowledge where your courage lives, but also like understand, and like, I'm hearing this from you, the nuance of like what courage is. It isn't like the nuance of like, hey, that was courageous to actually even like acknowledge that, like, you know, this isn't enough for you, you know, or like, you know, like there's something really powerful in that. Let's just riff on this for a little bit more and then we'll go on in a different direction. But like, tell me what else comes to you as I say that.
I mean, it's really, what's really coming up for me is that I think we tend to look at courage like it's some big, almost unattainable thing, you know? In the work I do and the people I work with, I tie it really closely to confidence. Because for me, it's really the more that you trust yourself, the more you know yourself, the more you understand yourself, the easier it is to make those moves that would have seemed impossible to you before. And for someone looking on the outside, it's like, wow, how courageous is that? This person just, whatever, quit their job and started a business, or just said no to this huge client project. So there's so many different ways that can look. And I think this happens with people when they reach a certain level of success as well. It's just, you just work hard, you move up, you make choices that feel good for you. And then it's only on that reflection from the outside where someone says, well, how did you get so successful? I had this conversation the other day and someone said, wow, look at everything you've done. And I'm sitting there and I'm humbled because to me, like, my God, they're really successful in what they've built and what they're doing. And they say, Amanda, it's incredible what you've built. How did you build that success? And I had to really sit for a moment and just reflect, like, actually, yeah, this is incredibly successful. Look at all these things that I've done. But I think when you're actually living that experience, either of courage or success, you're not looking at it from that angle when you're in that moment. You are, as you just said, you're living your life. You're just making choices. And maybe tomorrow I'm going to make completely different choices and I'm not going to feel so brave. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, I'll be back at that edge again. So I think it's just interesting. What's coming for me now is not looking at this as like a line that you're trying to hit or a place you're trying to reach, because it moves, it's fluctuating, and it depends on what you're doing and how you're feeling and all of these different elements that come into play.
Yeah, I appreciate this here. Like, I want to explore this a little bit further, because I had a memory come to mind that hasn't shown up in a while. But the memory here was I was involved with a group, and we were going around in our circle, sharing, getting coaching in the group format all around the topic of money. And people were going around a circle talking about like the challenges that they're having to get money and so on and so forth. And in the middle of it, a woman just stops and she's like, she's kind of fidgeting. And the coach looks over to her and is like, what's going on? And she's like, I gotta be honest. Like, I really don't identify with this conversation. And he's like, why is that? And she's like, because I don't see making money as a hard thing, you know, like, and what was, I remember that moment, one, because that like stopped me in my tracks. I was like, huh. And then like, two, because like other people were like, they were kind of pushing back a little bit on that. And the coach in the room was just like, good. Like, let's create more space for this. And it was one of the more important, she shared her experiences and things like that. But one of the things that I consistently remember about that is like, oftentimes, well, let me say this. It's like, I didn't realize how much of a group think there was in there around like, oh, in this group, it is cool to struggle with money right now, you know, as opposed to being in a room where it's like, what would it have been like to be in a room where people are like, yeah, you know, money will come. I want to do this, and then on the way money comes, and to just be in that space. I see you smile, I see you laughing. What comes to you as I say this?
I mean, it's really funny, especially on the entrepreneurial journey, the topic of money is so charged, and it depends who you're talking to. And I just had this experience many times of being in the room that's basically the mirror of whatever my insecurities or fears or feelings are. And at every stage that I've moved in my career, I'm surrounded by people who are reflecting back exactly whatever those fears or limitations are, you know? And so I've been in a couple of masterminds as I built my business. So I started in 2018, I started the Courage Factory. And then also in 2018, joined a mastermind with a few other coaches who were all getting started at the same time. And all our fears were the same, you know, how much do you charge and how do you get clients? And am I a good coach and all of this, you know, you're starting your business for the first time. So money was just like hot topic front and center. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm with a few different entrepreneurs, another mastermind setting, and we're working on different challenges, but whatever those fears were that I was having. So maybe it wasn't like, how do I get a paying client? It was like, oh, are my rates too low? Do I need to raise them? Whatever that is, that was reflected back. Now I'm in a community, like as a part of the Rich Litvin community, and it's a completely different level. There's still fear around money, right? But it's a very different conversation that people are having, and the fears are really different. So I just find it really fascinating how charged, first of all, the topic of money is, and how much the people that we're surrounding ourselves with are really reflecting these things back to us. So if you don't have that, I'll use your word, outlier, who's sitting in the room with you, who's like, actually, I don't struggle with money. That's not my thing. It's really hard to get that perspective and pull you out of that way of thinking, that way of thought.
Yeah. So I got to bring this in here because both you and I, like, we've both been in masterminds. We both invested in that. We've both been in rooms with other people who challenge our thinking and other people who are like on similar paths with thinking. I know we also both have offerings that like support people in a group environment here. You're talking mastermind here. And in my mind, this is what I'm making up stories because I know you have a mastermind, but I'm like, oh, so that must be like one of the experiences that someone gets when they're in like Amanda's mastermind. They get to be in a room where like the other people in there have so much, like have enough differences going on with what they're doing that they end up being a mirror and a reflection of what they're thinking. So let me ask you, like when you think about, you've been a part of mastermind, you've been about part of things. I do want to know more about your program. So I am going to ask you more about that. But let me just ask you, like when you're thinking, when you're bringing people together, when you're thinking about like what makes an environment for someone who is like you, for someone who's like you've seen, you just even shared, like you can talk about money, but depending on who's in the room, the conversation is happening at a completely different levels. There are similar fears, but on different, totally different levels. I get curious about like how you're thinking about like, I just feel like you put together a really interesting room and a really interesting group of people here. So I just get curious about like how you're thinking about that and how you're like what you're looking for and how you're, I don't know, how you're being innovative in that way. Like, let me leave it at that point. Tell me a little bit more. And I'm curious for myself because I'm like, I'm building something awesome myself. And I'm like, yeah, what's the difference between a room that's playing at this level of problems or has a group thing around here and a room that is like, hey, like it's normal for us to have this. Let's go here. So curious what your thoughts are. Curious how you're thinking about it.
I think it's really fascinating. So much has to do with the framing and the setup. And I've learned this, like I've led a lot of, well, group coaching, leadership development programs. And as the facilitator of that space, the way that I set people up to be successful determines what happens in that space. So I'm not saying it is only the facilitator, but if I go in and I tell everyone, okay, you're all struggling with money and you're stuck and you're sad and your business isn't working, what do you think kind of energy they're going to bring into this space? So everyone's going to be coming in from this position of feeling bad about where they are and things aren't working. And while that may be the truth for many people, for some people, really kind of, I'm like imagining like charging the space, you know, with this energy of like, what is possible? What is it that you really want to be creating? And giving people permission to, I mean, actually a lot of what you have done even here in this conversation, giving me permission to just think outside the box, show up fully as myself, dream a little bigger, to not be afraid of looking stupid or making silly comments or jokes or whatever it is about where they are. And I think it's also the more authentic that I am in how, in what I believe and how I present myself and what I'm doing in the world, the more that people come to me that I'm really excited to work with because they're listening to me speak. They're like, ooh, that sounds cool. I want to learn more about that. And then there's just like a lot of natural chemistry there. So if you have a room full of people with very different backgrounds who have this sort of like innate curiosity and hunger to grow and to learn and try new things. And I'd say I have a lot of just really creative people. So I used to focus just on leaders and I still love working with leaders, but it's like creators and change makers and people who really want to do something different that come together. And I think that's just where the magic happens. There's similar values that pull people together and then it's exciting.
I couldn't agree with you more. And what comes for me is like that when I was working in corporate, like the term entrepreneurial spirit kept coming up. Now that I'm thinking, now that word has come up here, I'm thinking about it in the context of right here. And I'm like, it's that spirit of like, you, like, we have ownership of our experience on this life. We can create something, where like we can create change, we can create businesses, we can create movements, we can create like innovation, we can do things like it is we have the agency to do something. And if I really for me, now that we're talking about this year, I'm like, if I boil it down to everything, it is just that. If you feel that you like, if you feel that you are able to create things in your life, and you do your best to take actions toward that, like that's in alignment with it. Because it's one thing to think it, and not take action. I would actually say you're not there yet in terms of the actual alignment. But man, it's a different space to be in, to be with people who all know that, like, on some level they can create it. You're like, look, I want to go live in Berlin. Like, and you, I lived in Singapore, like, and the funny part about this year is, when I think about Singapore, I didn't want to go to Singapore. I was like, my wife, her name's Nicole. I met her. She had lived in 4 different countries before we met. She's a total badass, you know? And like, and my general thing is like, I remember when I married her, I was like, she is great without me. One of my main things is I'm not going to get in the way of that, but I'm going to make sure that I'm augmented. Like, given that life is already going to be great for her, I'm here to just be like that frosting, that sprinkles to make it like really, really lovely. And it took me to like why I actually became an entrepreneur, because I started out as an actuary, an actuarial consultant, but I became an entrepreneur and eventually a coach because I needed a location independent like job. You know, like I needed something where I'm like, I was working at like one of the top consulting firms on the planet. But I'm like, if I went somewhere else, I'm like, I don't know if my actuarial credentials are going to carry. I don't, like, if I'm going to stay with you, and maybe I'll get on one of those global, like, be tapped to do one of those global projects. You know, I don't know where it's going to be. We can both get on a project, but go in completely different areas. So like, I'm bringing all this in here because I'm like, that component of this, like how natural, like the decisions are, the fact that we can say like, hey, wait, I can choose. I can create. It just feels different when you say I work with creators and like I'm working with creativity and things like that. I'm like, oh yeah, because and change agents and so forth. It's like at the core of it, we just believe that we have agency in our life. What do you think about that? Like this is coming out of me in like real time, and I'm choosing today to my edge will be to like develop in real time.
Yeah, I think there's an element that it's, yes, just showing up, knowing you can do something different, but I think it's a lot to do with intuition and like developing the ability to listen to yourself and to listen to those nudges. And I think that is the real difference, because all of these bold moves, you'd have no business moving to Singapore or marrying a woman who you know is going to go travel the world if there wasn't a party that was like, this is my journey too. You know, this is where I'm supposed to be. And the same for me with, I mean, moving to Berlin, I had never been to Germany. I had no interest in Germany, but it was for me, one, I wanted to stay with the organization I was with. I was like, I will work for WWF until my, you know, dying day. It didn't happen, but that's fine. I wanted to stay with them. I wanted to keep doing that work. And there was just a part of me when the opportunity came up, no part of me said no. You know, it was just that knowing, that certainty of like taking this forward. I think that's the reality. And maybe I'm making too sweeping of a judgment, but with most creators, so you don't have a sounding board to tell you, yes, this is a good idea. Yes, this is good. No, this is bad. It doesn't work like that. You're creating something that's never been there before. So the only judgment you have is what's coming from within. And if in my experience, when that is not aligned, I feel that too. So if there's a choice I'm making and it's I'm, you know, having sleepless nights and my anxiety is raising and all of this, I'm like, okay, something's out of alignment here. What's actually happening? So I think there's that element of enough trust in yourself, either that this is the right move or that you can figure it out. And that's what creates that like magical moment that you couldn't have planned for. How does that land for you?
I mean, it got me to take a seat back, like leave back in my seat on this year, right? Now, as you're talking, there's a deep resonance inside here. I'm thinking about various clients that I'm working with that have like gone through paths of success and have been more traditional, conventional successes from the standpoint of they've been on a career trajectory. You know, they learned the ins and outs of their specific industry, and they know exactly how to like move in that industry. And the idea of continuing that industry just brings them down, breaks them down. Now they're like, I don't want this, you know. But then to move into something else where like you lose that certainty, I love that you call out like, hey, as a creator, it's just not there. It's like that, like, and I was telling someone the other day, I was like, one of the benefits though, choosing to be on your own path, where I might call like a creator, right? My words. But like one of the benefits of being a creator here is that like, you get to create your own certainty. And what I like, what I hear from you is like, when you listen to the intuitive, what's coming up for you intuitively, and you honor that, and then you go out like, and you take actions that are in alignment with that, that creates its own certainty. And when you don't, there's sleepless nights, there's anxiety. Like in my mind, I'm like, hey, if you're like outlier, like stop what you're doing, pause right now, check with yourself. Like where's the sleeplessness come? Where's the misalignment in your world right now? Like take 5 minutes and write, you know, like take 5 minutes and just like take 30 seconds and get clear on like one place where there's some misalignment for you. And then ask yourself that intuitive question about like, what it would be like to just like bring yourself into actual alignment so you can take action again from there. That's what's flowing on for me. Amanda, I'm passing it back to you. What's coming up? What's coming with you?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, our inner voice. We all have different words for what that is. Inner voice, intuition, wisdom, knowing, I don't know. Everyone has a different way of framing it, but it speaks to each of us differently, right? So in my experience, that's like, there's a knowing, there's just a knowing. And then there's moments where I'm ignoring it. And then there's anxiety. So it's become quite clear. And I think the clearer that it becomes, the stronger it shows up on those separate wavelengths. Cause it's, you know, my intuition is saying, oh, we know how to speak to her now. Let's go this way or this way. But that can look really different for everyone. So it's exactly what you said, like sitting down, journaling, reflecting, understanding, or just starting to get more familiar with what are those markers? How does your intuition speak to you? So a few years back, I was working in a job I was really unhappy in. It was not going well. I knew I needed to get out, but I wasn't. So I was really firmly planted. And I started to get this like breaking out on my skin. And it was getting worse and worse. And this basically lasted at least a year, to the point it was like head to toe. I was breaking out in these, I don't know, like little red spots. So I was going to the dermatologist, but you know, what is it? I don't even know the expression. If you give like an electrician, you know, whatever, they're always going to find a bulb. So,
yeah. Something like that. Like, yeah, I understand. Understand.
It's always good. I'm going to. I'll just leave it now.
we get it. Something along the lines of hammer and nail, all those things.
Yeah, they're right? Always going to look for the nail, right?
Yeah.
So I went to the dermatologist, and they're giving me all these things that it is, and topical ointments and creams and all this, right? And it's still there because it was nothing to do with my skin. It was emotional. It was like my whole system saying, "This doesn't work for you. This job doesn't work. You're out of alignment." But I didn't know then. I didn't know how to listen to that voice. And then eventually I left the job, and I think that was probably about the time when I was starting to train as a coach, and things started to feel a bit smoother and easier, like I was moving onto the right path, and my skin cleared up, you know? So I'm not saying forego all medical advice. That's not what I'm saying. Just our body will show us. And it will look different for all of us. And it's up to us to start tuning in enough to know that when these things start showing up, when there's the upset stomach or your throat is hurting or whatever that may be, like there might be something more there to pay attention to.
Yeah, I'm grateful right now because just being in this conversation has helped me think about something that has been showing up for me for the past few weeks. I'm just not sleeping before 1 o'clock. I'm in bed around 11, and I'll just find some way to just stay up for another 2 hours. And there may be something there. There's a part of me like, I know I should, like, let's just get to bed at 11. Let's just lights out, whatever. I'm very creative. I'm like, you know what I didn't do? So I have a dish left in that sink, you know, like, or I'm like, I got to like text something to my team. I'm super creative on what to do to keep that there. And I love this part here around like tapping in, like tuning in, right? That intuition, that the tuning part of it. And I'm appreciative right now because I'm just thinking, And I think this the difference. It's like, what if there was something more to this than what I'm thinking? And it's not just address that issue. The question in my mind is like, what else have I not addressed where this is now showing up as a new symptom? And I'm like, I'm not heading to bed. When I sleep fine.
And then there's the question. And I think it's really hard to do this reflection on your own. Yes. You and I wouldn't have work if this was easy to do ourselves.
Absolutely.
But it's like, when did it start? And what was happening at that time that it became more difficult to fall asleep? Because there's usually this point of like a tipping point, right? Of where things are fine or sort of fine. And then suddenly the messages didn't come through clearly enough. So there had to be something a bit stronger to catch your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, in my case, the messages still weren't coming strong enough. So they're like, let's just call Amanda into the conversation and tell this kid, you know, let this man know what is going on. Right. Yeah. So I'm going to spend some time after this, just spend some time like reflecting on that and just seeing what options are there and just seeing what it is that may be wanting to get back into alignment here and bringing that into space as well. It's funny because I love how we're talking about these as like physical things that are happening with us and our body telling us here. I think about these, I think that external machinations also grow where it's like, this project's so difficult, or I'm like, I'm surrounded by people who are like draining my energy and all this stuff. And it's like, hey, by the way, your external environment can also be telling you that like things are just out of whack right now. Like get it in the whack, whatever that is. I don't know. I've never heard of anyone say it, get it in whack, but like, that, like,
I'm like, we'll
go with that. Right. But this is really awesome for me. I feel that it's these simple things. And I'm really grateful that you brought in intuition. I'm really grateful that you grounded and centered it in intuition, because it could seem like it's all external, and you're like, there's an internal game that's playing here for sure. And we need to make sure we don't leave that out of the equation. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it can be really easy to do that.
I think just gonna put my hand up. I'm very guilty of that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. So let's do this, Amanda. I feel like we're in a place to start like completing for today. I would love to give some space here. And I don't always do this here, but I definitely feel alignment with you, what it is that you're up to here. And I think outliers would get a lot from this. And also just, I think you would get a lot from it too. I know you have a mastermind here. Like tell us about that program in particular, and how people can get involved if they're interested in like going down the journey with you.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned before, you know, I found it so helpful throughout my whole journey to find these masterminds, to find these groups where I could come together on a regular basis and help myself learn and grow and develop with other people who were going on that journey with me. And I've just realized in all of the work that I've been doing with leaders, with change makers, I work a lot with people who are in social impact and tech, and there's so much sense of needing to figure it out on their own. There's a lot of loneliness that people feel like they're on this path, on this journey on their own, half of us, I put myself in that bucket, don't know what we're really doing. You know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome that comes up and thinking that everyone else has it all figured out and you don't. And so I've created this mastermind, T7M, to really give a space for these people who are working on, in your words, that next edge. I mean, that is really what it is, that next creation, that space where you know that you're ready for the change. And maybe you don't quite know what that is yet or how to get there, but to bring these people together into one space and help them get that support, to see that they're not alone, to build that confidence, to learn new ways of being in the world, that they actually reach that next level of success, whatever that means for them. So if that resonates for people here, you can learn more about T7M at purposefulmastermind.com. And please do feel free, just send me a message, reach out. I'm super happy to talk more about all the magic we're going to create there.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome, Amanda. Yeah, I'm glad we gave space for this year, because there's something about the magic that you create, the way that you look at the world. I know that it's taken work. I know that it's a testament to the amount of work and effort that you've put in and learning and transformation that you've gone in. But there's a part of me that gets really excited by this, because I'm like, this ain't like you're living and breathing this thing. You know what I mean? Like there's something that this feels like. It's naturally you, and you're playing in that space. And what I have found is that the more natural someone is, the more authentic someone is, it also is a testament to the amount of work that they've done to create the space for just them to come through. So I imagine that being an incredibly powerful experience. Go check it out there, Outliers. Let's end here then with one last question for you. And I call it my time capsule question, right? So this is actually be your time capsule. What I love to do is, a lot of times people will ask, like, hey, Amanda, like, what would you go and say to your past self? You know, what would you say to your past self? I'm not interested in that. The question in my mind right now is, with all the inner wisdom that you have, with all the experience that you have in this moment, like, you know something to be true that your future self might forget or might need to be reminded of, right? What's the message that you want to leave right now for your future self?
It's such a powerful question. I think the most important message is really trusting myself. So just trusting that I always know what's right in the end. I always know what the next best move is or the right decision to make. And I've often gone looking for the experts or the mentors or the people outside of myself to figure out what I should be doing. And whenever I do that, I get lost. So I start to get overwhelmed and lost in a sea of everything that is not actually true for me. And that's something that I am always holding on to today and reminding myself of, and that I'd really love to pass that message forward. So really just trust yourself. You will know, and you do know what's best, and you can rely on that.
And so it is. We'll leave it exactly as that. That's my gift to you, to yourself there. Amanda, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've had a ton of fun here with, talking to you. I'm glad that Outliers now got a chance to know you, and I'm looking forward to how we co-create and where we take things out in the future. All right.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been really fun. I really appreciate the space and time.
Most certainly. Talk to you soon.
We're just getting started. Take 10 seconds to think about your greatest insight from today's conversation. And if you're ready to go and bring this to a deeper, more applicable level for you, come and join us in an upcoming masterclass. Go to outliersedge.com/masterclass to be coached live and to bring your aspirations, your goals, and your challenges and have them handled in real time. This is high flame, high impact, high transformation. Go to outliersedge.com/masterclass and come experience your next level of leadership.